Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Kale and Company, Nick Dawn and Greg, 855-839-1210. If you would like to join the show, Cutsheet coming up, 7:45. Tony Bruno at 8:30. Also a very interesting story with a guy who has done great work, not only in Pennsylvania, but around the country. And I believe he's even been on the Dom Show. Scott Pressler will not be getting a job with the RNC, according to Laura Trump. We'll get to that story. And also, what does a Trump cabinet look like? According to Fox News, yesterday a report came out where the attorney general, the DHS secretary, the chief of staff, and all the VP options were rattled off. We'll go through them and see who we would prefer and who we would not. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. And also, illegal immigrants, should they be afforded Second Amendment rights? We'll get to that after the news, but let's get to the news. 7:02, round number two, the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning, Kale and Company News Live. We are at 40 degrees on this March 20th as we head into the season of spring. We are heating up today. I say heating up tongue in cheek, but 59 degrees looks like this will be the warmest day of the week. We are sponsored in Kale and Company News Live by First Harvest Credit on this first day of spring. A Deptford police officer who shot and killed a man last year is not being criminally charged in connection to that incident. And that is after a state grand jury review. This is New Jersey. And so we want to update this as we talk about these things. They're in the headlines and then they fall away and nobody ever follows up on them. It's an important follow up. So this is Officer Luke Ivey, fully exonerated in the situation, fatally shot a 55-year-old Sicklerville man, Daniel Nevius. This happened after the Deptford Township Police Department responded to a 911 call there on Fox Run Road in Deptford. And the caller had told, you know, in a frantic way, had told 911 that this man was pointing a rifle at innocent civilians and acting erratically. They were terrified there. Police rushed to the scene. Ivy fired a single shot from his service weapon. That, according to authorities, striking the man. And responding officers said that the man pointed his weapon at police, was threatening to shoot and kill police. So this was a police shooting in defense. 6-year veteran of the department. That's the officer here, fully exonerated.
Good. I like to hear that.
Yes, sir.
That's what these guys get. FAFO. I believe Sean Farrer said that best. I can't really say what that means on the radio, but you know what? You figure it out. FAFO. Mess around and find out, basically.
We do have breaking news right now on the Pennsylvania side. Montgomery County Clubhouse at the center of a 55 and over community in Montgomery County in the suburbs of Philadelphia, fully engulfed in flames. Firefighters battling to put this out early this morning. So the flames are raging in the middle of this development. This is at the Neshaminy Falls Clubhouse on Sump Road. This is North Wales.
Oh.
So there is a full evacuation as dozens of fire crews, and they're responding from other fire departments. So it's an active situation. So it looks like so far they got all of the residents out, and I don't hear of any injuries thus far.
You said North Wales?
Yes, okay. Montgomery County.
Yeah, not too far from me.
Yeah.
10 minutes maybe.
So we do have the fourth suspect finally taken into custody, wanted for that shooting at a Philadelphia SEPTA bus stop, school bus stop, arrested in Alexandria, Virginia. This, according to U.S. Marshals, who took into custody without incident, 17-year-old Asir Boone. He's the fourth of these accused shooters. He'll be charged with attempted murder, among other charges, and U.S. Marshals Service taking him into custody. No word if anybody collected the $20,000 cash reward for information leading to his arrest. So we'll wait to see if that tip call came in. But this is with regard to the March 6th shooting that, of course, injured 8 students in Philadelphia's Burholm section. The principal of their high school, Northeast High, will be speaking today for the very first time. We've talked a lot about those high school students. Many of them say, hey, we're good kids. We want to go to school. We want to be safe. What's going on in the schools? That's the question here. Were these kids who were high school students recruited by gangs? Did this involve drugs? Did this involve retaliation from a shooting that happened 2 days earlier? That's one of the questions. The shooting that happened 2 days earlier actually took the life of another 17-year-old high school student from a charter school. Yeah. So, and injured many other people, not only students, but people on a SEPTA bus. As far as the other students who were, the other 7 who were injured from Northeast High, they continue to recover from their injuries.
Wow.
So, you know, let us not forget that, you know, many of those kids are still hospitalized, stabilized, but still hospitalized.
And they've concluded the grief counseling, right? I think they were doing alternate days, or it was what, like 9th and 10th graders and then 11th and 12th?
Yeah, they have concluded, well, they concluded that switch off that you're talking about where they were doing individualized, but they will continue, they say, to assess the situation. Certainly anybody who reaches out for help, needs the help and counseling, that sort of thing, they will provide it.
Right.
But, you know, that's the latest on that one. Finally, they caught, you know, that was March 6th.
Yeah.
It's today the 20th.
2 weeks.
Yeah. So
yep.
Here we go.
There you go.
Community of Ambler was under that temporary, this was crazy. Everybody was talking about this. Shelter in place last night, this armored truck heist in Philadelphia led police on this chase to the quiet suburban neighborhood of Ambler. So many residents were awakened, told to shelter in place as this was happening. But this started in Philadelphia. 3 armed guys held up that armored truck driver in East Mount Airy and injured the driver and took his gun. The driver, we're told, was not shot. So the driver was pistol whipped or punched, struck over the head, and the money taken, the handgun was taken. And so he's suffering from those injuries, but will survive, according to authorities. But a tip on possible suspects prompted that. I mean, this was a large SWAT response.
Now, that's the 3rd shelter in place in less than a week, correct?
It's crazy.
Because we had 2 in Bucks County, and now in this area of Ambler, would this be technically Bucks or Montgomery?
That's Montgomery.
Yeah, it's definitely Montgomery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love Ambler.
So do I. That was one of the places I looked at when I moved up here. It was either Ambler or Bluebell. I chose Bluebell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Housing prices.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, get my barf bag. I'm already sick enough.
I know, right? I know you and Kristen are looking at houses.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and that brings us actually to another story that we've talked about, the following up on, and we'll talk about this later, no doubt. You know, all of the census studies, and Nick Cale talked earlier about 4 years to slow the spread 4 years ago. So we have talked about the fact that during COVID, Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia, how much population we lost. More than 53,000 people moved out. Where did they move? So Montgomery County, KOP, one of the areas where, let's say, single, the 20-somethings were moving, because at that point, people who were saving up for a place, they said they still had those low interest rates. Boy, do they feel like geniuses right about now.
Absolutely.
Low interest rates at that time, beginning of the pandemic. Hey, let's get out of here, move to the burbs. So they look very smart. But where did everybody move? We're now getting those assessments.
So you've got KOP and just Montgomery County in general?
Yeah, in Chester County.
In Chester.
Looks like they moved out to Chester County. But as well, Lancaster County,
yeah,
believe it or not,
okay,
because they were taking advantage of zooming it in type work. So what does that mean for Philadelphia? As Mayor Sherelle Parker says, hey, everybody get back to work. Well, now you've moved out to the burbs.
Right.
And
further commute.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good luck with that.
Yep.
So we've got that going on. Nick Cale talking about COVID studies. There's another one about COVID and the impact on your actual IQ and how many IQ points you lost.
No way.
So I actually love, I don't know if you want to tease this, if you want me to move on.
No, we have 5-6 minutes.
So it's a new study published in the New England Journal of Medicine, looks at how much cognition is impaired in the months after a coronavirus infection, shows COVID-19's impact can be measured by your IQ points.
So this is like a COVID cloud post-infection. Your IQ drops by a handful of points?
At least six IQ points.
Wow. Now, how much if you were still wearing a mask in 2024? Is that your IQ get cut in half? I would think so.
Or is that the sign of the you've already lost so many points?
Yeah, that's the sign as in your brain is broken.
So for people with COVID, where it was severe enough to require hospital care, the deficit deepened to 9 points.
To 9 points. Wow.
I don't know. We should compare this to, because you know how they say if you've been drunk or so many times you did certain things, how many IQ points you lost?
Yeah.
So where did you lose more IQ points, COVID or getting
liquored
up?
Well, I definitely lost more IQ points with alcohol than COVID. There's no question about that. I don't need a scientific study to confirm those findings.
So we have to look at all of this. Yes. We are sponsored by First Harvest Credit Union this morning. Build stronger financial roots with First Harvest Credit Union. Open a growth savings account. You earn as high as 3.5% annual percentage yield while having flexible access to your funds. Visit firstharvestcu.com for details. Membership restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA. The forecast today, love it because this is, I believe, the warmest day that we're going to get of the work week. We're looking at 59 degrees, partly sunny skies. We cool off for your tomorrow. So tomorrow we dip back down. And some rain chances in the forecast. So definitely get out there, enjoy the spring-like weather today. Kale and Company News Live.
And take your allergy pills, folks. Take your allergy pills. 855-839-1210. All right, thank you very much, Dawn. Cut sheet in just over a half hour. Let's get to this Second Amendment story. We were talking about the Supreme Court of the United States doing a 180 and now saying that Texas and Greg Abbott can, in fact, arrest and deport illegal immigrants. But a federal judge in Illinois, has found that the Constitution protects the gun rights of non-citizens who enter the United States illegally. This is the headline coming out in FoxNews.com. Judge rules illegal immigrants have gun rights protected by the Second Amendment. U.S. District Judge Sharon Johnson Coleman on Friday ruled that a federal prohibition on illegal immigrants owning firearms is unconstitutional as applied to defendant Heriberto Carbajal Flores. The court found that while the federal ban is facially constitutional, there is no historical tradition of firearm regulation that permits the government to deprive a non-citizen who has never, and this is a key element here, who has never been convicted of a violent crime from exercising his or her Second Amendment rights. And when I saw a lot of people talking about this over the last 48 hours, it seems like amongst gun owners and Second Amendment supporters to the umpteenth degree, there's a divide here, which I find remarkable.
I don't know why, because for me, they're not citizens, so they don't get the same constitutional rights as we do. Period, full stop. End.
Yes, that's my reaction, and that's my takeaway as well, that this ruling is outrageous because, well, they've never been convicted of a violent crime. Well, hold on a second, District Judge Coleman. How do we know these people haven't at least committed a violent crime in the past? A lot of people actually, believe it or not, people commit crimes and never get apprehended for doing what they did illegally. So how do we know that these are not violent criminals with assaults or murders or attempted murders, and they've just gotten away with it in Mexico? How do we know that these people are not illegal drug dealers? How do we know that they're not human smugglers? We have no idea about a lot of the backgrounds of these individuals other than the fact that they're here illegally. So for me, and if you disagree with Greg or with myself or Dawn, I'm going to get your thoughts as well. Please weigh in, because you know the Second Amendment is a huge right in this country, and I never want to see any infringements upon this. But it's like we're compounding the mistake. So we're allowing you to be here illegally, and then we add on top of it your ability to own a firearm when we don't know very much at all about you. I am all for the Second Amendment to the maximum level across the board when it comes to owning a firearm. But I don't want people that are already doing one thing wrong doing something else, especially if they are a threat to our society and safety.
Take all of that out of whether they committed violent crimes or not. They're not citizens.
Right.
The end.
I don't want them to be able to vote. I don't want them to be able to own a firearm legally. Like, if you go about it the legal way and you wait your time and you get in line, so to speak, and you become a citizen of this country, that's great. That's what this is. This country was founded on in many ways, with people from all over, you know, the globe. But no, like, I'm not giving somebody that has already violated one rule the ability to do something else. That's like breaking into a, that's like a breaking and entering job into a you know, a coffee shop, and they say, well, you're already here illegally, so you don't have to pay for X, Y, or Z. Just take whatever you want. Like, no. No, I totally disagree with this ruling. Dawn, what do you think about this?
At first, I looked at, because I have family who live in northern Illinois,
okay,
where this judge you know, made the ruling.
Ah.
And I thought, all right, is this a conservative judge trying to take a stance on Second Amendment rights?
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, this judge is an Obama appointee. Where I see this going, first of all, The defendant in the case, who's now, you know, a Mexican man who is here illegally, not non-citizen, but does, has no record, he stated that it was during the George Floyd riots.
Oh.
And that he, you know, armed up because he was scared for his life, that there was so much violence and, you know, looting and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
That was his claim. What I fear, however, is that in Illinois, there is a strong push. Because after defund the police, this is all ironic, after defund the police, we have a shortage of officers, especially look at Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, etc.
Of course.
So in Illinois, they're pushing for non-citizens to be able to become law enforcement officers. The problem here is that many have said, well, wait a minute, they can't possess a firearm. So does this judge, this Obama appointee now, pave the way for non-citizens to become law enforcement, to become police officers, and carry a gun, even though they're still going through the, even if they're going through the process legally at this point, which I don't really know how that works, because I thought if you come in illegally, I thought, boom, it's over for you.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever. But that's my fear here. And this all does not go down well in the black community.
Right.
Because now you have people, let's say in Chicago, who say, really? You're going to hire folks who are here illegally,
mm-hmm.
whose first language is not English, and they're going to be now enforcing the law in our country, in our city.
Well, and also think about the hypocrisy of all of this. If there's one thing I try to be, I try to be consistent regardless of, you know, parties or whatever. So this is an Obama appointee judge, and Democrats, every time there's a tragedy, what do they want to do? Tighten gun laws, reinforce, we're going to ban bump stocks. Yes. Joe, we're going to ban this, we're going to ban that. So they're all about doing everything they can to kind of hone in on your Second Amendment rights. But yet when it comes to an illegal immigrant, they're all on board with gun rights being protected for the illegal. That's upside down bizarro's insanity world, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're citizens of the United States. Democrats always trying to, you know, well, we gotta hone in on X, Y, and Z when it comes to firearms and gun violence, but they want to have illegal immigrants afforded the right to own a gun. That's hypocrisy 101 right there.
Yeah, it shows you, to me, unless I'm just wrong, I could be wrong. Maybe this Obama appointee is for Second Amendment rights. What do you think?
It's not to say that every Democrat is anti-Second Amendment, but they're the side that's always, they never want to acknowledge the mental health crisis or the red flags or the warning signs. It's never the person's fault. It's always the gun's fault.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, obviously, that is the complete opposite, as a federal judge in Illinois has found that the Constitution protects the gun rights of non-citizens who enter the country illegally. Your thoughts, 855-839-1210, if you would like to jump in. Cut sheet in just about 25 minutes. And also, Donald Trump yesterday, his reported cabinet possibilities. We've got a total of 8 names here for a total of 4 positions. Who do we like more than the other? We'll get to that as we continue. Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, Parks Casino, this is how you win action, entertainment, great dining, and so much excitement. Parx Casino, as you know, the number one casino experience in the state of Pennsylvania and the Commonwealth here, and my casino of choice. Parx, 3,200 state-of-the-art slots, 115 live table games, state-of-the-art sportsbook, 150-foot video wall, and reclining seats. They are so comfy. All those award-winning restaurants, the Parx Grill Steakhouse, Liberty Bell Gastropub, All Season Beer Garden, delicious sushi at Bamboo Noodle House. New York's best club comedians every other Thursday night. Joe Conklin and the best bands every weekend only at 360 Lounge. So here are some of the top headliners at the one, at the 1500 seat Excite Center there at Parx. America's top psychic medium, Matt Frazier, April 20th. So that's coming up. Tracy Morgan, May 11th. Femmes of Rock, May 17th. Sebastian Bach from Skid Row, May 18th. All, you know, and all the conveniences. They've got all the free parking, valet parking, EV charging stations. So I love it. It is so safe. And let us not forget right now that we've got Wednesday night tournament time. Last two play-in games are tonight. Montana State, 3.5-point fave against Grambling State. Colorado, a 2.5-point fave against Boise State. Download the Bet Parx Sportsbook app. Make your futures bets right now on who you think is going to win it all. It's so much fun. New users, join me. Download the Bet Parx Sportsbook app right now and make that winning $10 sports bet. Get $125 in sportsbook bonuses back. BetParx.com has all the deets for you. It's safe to use. It's so easy. I call it idiot-proof. If I can use it, trust me, you can use it. Got to be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. Tony Bruno, just about 1 hour from now. Don't forget, coming up this Friday, it will be Radiothon. Yep. Snuck up on us really quickly, didn't it?
It did.
Travis Mannion Foundation, this Friday, 6A to 7P. One of my favorite days of the year, yep. Obviously for all the great causes, but also for the fact that Zioli comes in.
He does.
And I get to work with him in the morning.
Yep.
And he kind of drives it, and it's a little lightening of my load.
Oh, wait, no, no.
Oh, we're it's
no,
always about
no,
me.
No, come on.
Oh,
come
yeah.
On. It's, it'll be you, me, Rich, Dawn, in the morning.
That'll be super fun.
And then I think Dom takes over with Dawn and Dan and... Yeah, it's going to be a mishmash of hosts all throughout the day.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're used to something at a certain time, it might be something else. But
I believe I will be on 6 to 9, and then I get a little hiatus. Then I'm back in 11 to 1, and then off for two more hours, and then back in again from 3 to 5. And then you, Dawn, Rich, and I believe somebody else take it home from 5 to 7.
Ryan Mannion, I think, is on with us, too.
Oh, so. Very cool.
Yeah, it's a long day for everybody, but it's a great cause. The only thing we ask is that you, you know, open up your wallets and are as generous as you can be. I know these times are tough with the finances and stuff, but, you know, it's a great cause, and we're trying to raise as much money as we possibly can for the Travis Mannion Foundation.
That is correct. All right, so there was very interesting news and developments yesterday around 2 o'clock. They actually had a breaking Fox News alert. One is a report, and two is a rumor. So let me start with this. The news coming down yesterday that, according to Fox News, they are reporting that Trump's possible cabinet members include the following people for the following positions. So let's see if people like this.
Right.
So you have Ted Cruz as the Attorney General. You have Vivek Ramaswamy as the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. I really like Vivek in that position. Mike Lee also mentioned for Attorney General. And the Chief of Staff, everybody's favorite buddy, Kevin McCarthy. Not sure that people are grateful to hear that name this morning if you are somebody who's anti-McCarthy. So Ted Cruz, Attorney General, Mike Lee, Vivek Ramaswamy for DHS Secretary, and Kevin McCarthy for the Chief of Staff. Now, also according to Fox News, the reported vice presidential picks are down to 4, 2 females, 2 African-American males. Your two female options are Tulsi Gabbard and Kristi Noem, and your two African-American male nominees are Byron Donalds and Tim Scott. Hmm. Interestingly, Ben Carson, who's always seemingly floated out there and asked, would you be Trump's running mate? Not on that list. I would say if it was female, I would prefer Tulsi Gabbard over Kristi Noem. If it was between Byron Donalds and Tim Scott, I would prefer Byron Donalds over Tim Scott, but I'm not against Tim Scott getting that position. So what do we think of that? Because Vivek, absolutely. I think if there's one thing that an overwhelming majority of Republicans agree on when it comes to Trump's cabinet a second time around, is that you have to find a role for Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he was too bright, too intelligent. If we go back to the primaries, when there were 6, 7, 8 different people trying to challenge Trump, I would argue that nobody went in with a lower stock and emerged with a better stock than Vivek Ramaswamy. Not Nikki Haley, not Ron DeSantis, not Chris Christie, not Tim Scott, not Doug Burgum, not anybody on down the list. I think if there's somebody that emerged, even in, quote, defeat after suspending their campaign, Vivek's arrow went up the most. So, to me, you find a role for this guy.
But, by the way, Vivek was not, like, does not want a cabinet position. He wanted VP.
I know.
He was kissing butt for a VP.
But he's also 14 years old, so, like, you know, your time will come, right?
He's your age.
He's 39. I'm 40. He's 39. Like, you know, you can't just expect to have the world given to you your first time around. You know, I didn't get out of college at 22 thinking I should be doing afternoon drive in Philadelphia with no experience. Mm-hmm. Like, Vivek Ramaswamy has to work his way up. But he's too witty, he's too intelligent, he's too fierce, he's very fearless, he goes after the mainstream media. Like, if you're in the business of assembling talent and putting together a roster in any profession, you find a role for really, really bright, super talented people. And to me, I can't imagine Vivek not being at least presented this offer. Whether he accepts is another thing. I can't imagine he's not going to accept it, right?
It depends on the cabinet position. So we've heard Homeland Security, we've heard different cabinet positions. I think he'll, you know, get the offer. But I also think, I mean, to your point, Vivek Ramaswamy, self-made billionaire, brilliant guy. But just in August, we talked about, I mean, in August, turned 38 years young. So I think he and Trump obviously hit it off. Mm-hmm. He campaigned with former President Trump. I just think, from what I hear, it changes on a weekly basis. So these names being floated, until he chooses, and I hope he actually waits. I hope that he waits
till the summer.
Till this summer, make the big announcement at the, you know, to create that excitement. There was another poll out, I think yesterday, these polls day by day, but
oh, I know.
Choosing your choice,
out,
Tulsi. Yeah, but you know, I hope that they wait just to have that excitement go forth. But on the other hand, look at the future of the GOP. What a great diverse group of young, many of them young individuals.
Not only is it diverse from the, you know, the appearance standpoint, where the left loves to play identity politics, right? You've got females, you've got African-American males, you've got Vivek Ramaswamy, but you also have different degrees of conservatism. I know people probably don't want to hear Kevin McCarthy for chief of staff because, you know, everybody labels him as a moderate rhino, and rightfully so. They're glad that he's no longer the Speaker of the House. But, you know, if he offers something and if he's an asset and Trump views him favorably for whatever role he would have, then I'm totally on board with that. Ted Cruz, to me, a little bit of a clown at times. I like Ted Cruz, but I also think he's kind of an attention seeker. Like, I try to shy away from those that are almost too eager for their spotlight. Like, that's why Marjorie Taylor Greene kind of drives me nuts, because I think she's all about herself a lot of times. And that's also why I like guys like Tim Scott. Like, Tim Scott, I don't think Tim Scott is an attention seeker. He's a low-key, humble guy. He's not all about him. And he's kind of the opposite of some of these people. I don't like surrounding myself with a bunch of mini-me's and yes people. And maybe some of these people are yes people, but clearly Tim Scott is different than Trump. Vivek's got a lot of Trump to him, which is why I do think you have to go for a softer image vice president I do think female is the way to go. A little surprised that Sarah Huckabee Sanders was not on this latest list. I know, Dawn, you're very high on her. And it looks like
Elise Stefanik as well.
Elise Stefanik, another one. Although I think she's what? She's 39 years old as well.
So they're all in that. They're all these individuals are late 30s, early 40s.
Yes. Yes. I think maybe the oldest one here of the names we mentioned would be Tim Scott or Kevin McCarthy. I mean, obviously, Tulsi Gabbard's relatively young. Byron Donalds is young. Kristi Noem is young. On down the list. So you do have a very interesting mix of all of these possibilities. So that came out yesterday. We'll see when it happens and who exactly gets picked for certain spots. I'd also like to know, I mean, because you've had Kathy Barnett on plenty of times, mm-hmm. and she's obviously got the connection with Vivek. Has she hinted at whether or not Vivek would accept one of these lesser positions, if he's basically saying, I really, really want vice president, but like, would do you think he would take that based on what Kathy has either alluded to or not said?
We'll have to ask her.
Okay.
So we have off the record conversation. You know, if we have friend conversations, it's always off the record, which means, you know, but we'll have to have her on. She's going to be filling in the full time that I'm in. And that we, a bunch of us, in southern Italy coming up.
That's coming up for you soon, right?
Yeah, so she's got some awesome guests scheduled, and she's going to rock it.
Okay.
I'll probably get fired. You know, she's just like, she's so awesome. I'm really excited that, and she'll be here this week and next week, so she'll be joined. So we'll, to your point, Nick, you know, we'll ask Kathy and see, but I just don't think it's over. I think Trump, in truth, he hasn't made up his mind and probably looking at what he needs.
Yeah, you're right.
What can a Veep deliver?
Mm-hmm. That's what I've been talking about. 855-839-1210. Can one of these Veeps maybe deliver a swing state or two? All right, Kale and Company, we continue. Cut sheet is on the way. And Laura Trump says, thanks, but no thanks. Is it a mistake? We're back after this on Kale and Company.
As we talk about spring and then summer, you think about that. That smell of fresh cut lawn brings back all those memories of childcare, of childhood, right? And playing with the dog, the frisbee, all of that. And that's what I love about my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. They're great. And I've used them for years now, Natural Lawn of America. And what I love about them is no chemicals. So people come over and they say, is that a hummingbird? It's just by your kitchen, is that a hummingbird? And then you hear all about this, no more hummingbirds, no more bees. They're like, what do you do? And I say, you know what I do? Natural Lawn of America, no chemicals. So they use an organic mix, and this is awesome because it still works, by the way. So you're not going to see the weeds. You're going to have this beautiful, lush, green lawn, Natural Lawn of America. That's my choice of lawn. And I hope that you choose them as well. And it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of lawn care company. Their certified specialists are going to tailor their treatments for your lawn's specific needs, okay? So they use their exclusive organic-based fertilizers, safer weed and insect controls, and give you the results you want and the peace of mind that you deserve. And that's where the no chemicals situation comes in. And they're locally owned and family-operated right here in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Natural Lawn is competitively priced, has a satisfaction guarantee. So here's the deal. Schedule them now. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program. Get free seeding every year. 800 free seed. 800 free seed. You can always check them out at naturallawn.com. Naturallawn.com. Trust the leader in organic based lawn care. Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds. Guaranteed. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. We'll get to this Scott Pressler, Laura Trump story with the RNC in just a little bit because we're just about 60 seconds out from a Wednesday episode of What's on the Cut Sheet. But I do want to pass this along. For all of us that were watching the State of the Union address, what was that, last Thursday or two Thursdays ago? Now, it's all starting to blend together.
Yeah, it was like two Thursdays ago.
It was two Thursdays ago. Yeah, think, yeah. Last night at 9:57 p.m., the story coming out, the D.C. attorney that initially charged the father who spoke up and had to be escorted out of the State of the Union address last 2 weeks ago. The charges against that man, Steve Nakui, for disruption of Congress during the State of the Union speech, those charges have officially been dropped. And I think that is, without a doubt, the right call. Kind of ridiculous that charges would be brought in the first place. But as they like to say, cooler heads have prevailed with that one. So, of course, he was the recipient of the, I think it's, what is it, the gold...
he's a gold star dad.
Gold star dad, yeah.
Son killed in Afghanistan.
Yep.
Bad look for Biden. Cuffed, arrested, dragged out of there.
Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah, that was a really bad look.
Ugh.
So, wanted to pass that along to you. All right, 7:45 on this Wednesday morning. Let's see what soccer has lined up for a midweek edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Wednesday is sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo, where right now you can lease an XC40 for $459 or an XC90 for $629 per month, and interest rates are as low as 4%. Hurry to Cherry Hill Volvo for details today. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. So the LAPD has formed a special task force to combat organized foreign gangs that are burglarizing homes.
Oh.
I think we discussed this, that is something that we should have.
They're tourists.
Here in Philadelphia. the organized gangs apparently are coming from Peru, Colombia, Ecuador, Chile, etc.
They're just refugees seeking a better life, Greg.
You know, we said this about the gang problem here in Philadelphia. Like, there needs to be a task force.
You've been calling for it for 2 weeks.
Yes, I want something to be done. I don't care if you go into these communities and have battering rams for the homes where they are hiding out in.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take them out.
You know, I love the fact that you brought up the battering ram. That's always been on my bucket list of things I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to be on the end of that and just ram that thing through a door.
I just remember in the early 90s in L.A. and how Daryl Gates would implement these tactics against. Because L.A. had a huge gang problem in early 90s. Late 80s and early 90s. And everybody's like, that's racist. How dare you do this? And oh my God, it's these poor people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Just saying.
Exactly.
You have to, like, these gangs take no prisoners.
No, of course
they
not.
They have no qualms about killing innocent people. So sometimes you have to take drastic measures.
That's correct.
All right, let's get to the LAPD. This is courtesy of NBC4 out of Los Angeles. Cut one, Phil, go.
They have a significant increase in burglaries from organized groups that are outside this country, that are coming into the country. And they are targeting high-end residents, and we are addressing that specifically in a task force fashion through multi-agencies.
Lots of these break-ins have been recorded by security cameras in recent years. Detectives tell me many tourist burglars who've been arrested often enter the U.S. through a visa waiver program. Many were visiting from Chile and other South American countries. The LAPD says there have been more than 900 residential burglaries across the city since January. Jeez. Some of those committed by the tourist burglars, who often target luxury homes in the foothills. And some of them may be using new technology to interfere with home security. Just last week, the LAPD's Wilshire station sent out this alert that Wi-Fi jammers had been used to block camera and alarm signals during some recent break-ins.
Some sort of device by burglars that actually deaden, kill, or stop Wi-Fi from operating.
The immediate fix for these home alarm systems is to hardwire them. Where you plug those systems directly into your Ethernet in the wall and not use your Wi-Fi internally.
Choi says he's not sure if the tourist burglars have been using these devices, but the I-team has learned jammers and drones have been found by officers in Beverly Hills and other nearby cities. Last year, burglars were caught staking out homes in Orange County while wearing a camouflage suit like this, similar to ghillie suits worn by military snipers.
Unbelievable.
And it's not just a California story. Police in Scottsdale, Arizona announced today the arrests of a trio of suspected residential burglars, all in the U.S. on the visa waiver program and suspected of being part of a wide-ranging criminal organization.
These are Chilean burglary crews that are coming to the United States on the visa waiver program.
I mean, we said, and I've been saying this, these are not stupid individuals. I mean, you're talking about Wi-Fi jammers. This is like a Hollywood movie script. We're going to jam up the cameras so the surveillance footage freezes and we can't identify these suspects. They've got basically brushes and shrubs all over as a disguise to stake out the place. And look at the areas they're hitting up. Beverly Hills and Orange County?
Yep.
You know, they're not robbing townhouses.
It's a bunch of people with a hate has no home here signs on them.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are getting burglarized. Uh-huh. I'm not laughing because burglary is not funny, and I don't wish it on anybody.
Serious felony.
Like, you get what you vote for, I guess.
Yes. Well, at least they're gonna create task forces for these illegal tourist gangs. Now, if they would actually
newcomers.
Yeah. maybe one day they'll actually prosecute crime of citizens in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
but you can't ask for too much in one day.
Well, there's also a problem in New York City. Let's go across the country here.
By the way, if you had to live New York or L.A., which hellhole would you pick?
I want warm weather.
So you take LA?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if I had to, I would as well.
New York is just, it's crowded, and there are, and the weather is just as bad there as it is here.
Yeah.
So, no thank you. So this New York City homeowner was arrested for changing the locks on her home to kick out a squatter who broke in.
Oh, yeah.
So she was arrested because she changed the locks, and the cops were like, hey, look, you know, if you want to kick him out, you have to go through a judge and go through the courts. So he has a right to be here, even though he doesn't. And these squatters are just, because they know the laws.
They have a major issue in Atlanta with squatters as well.
It's a problem.
It is.
And my in-laws rent properties. You know, they buy homes, fix them up, and they rent them.
Yep.
They've had problems with squatters for a long time.
So really? how does this materialize with the squatter? Like what
they get in there. They get in there, they pay for a couple months, and then they stop paying. And then you can't legally kick them out it goes through the justice system, and it's a whole thing. Sometimes they're in there for a year and a half without paying, and you can't do anything about it. And it's trashing your house.
That's just absurd.
Yeah.
Does that apply as well to people that have their home foreclosed and they can't afford their mortgage as the owner anymore? Or is that just from a rental standpoint when it comes to being a squatter?
Yeah, I don't know about the foreclosure.
Okay.
I actually don't know why this. Maybe the squatter laws were in there to protect people who are foreclosed on.
I've always been intrigued by this concept.
Yeah, where you could just live somewhere, not pay.
That's unbelievable.
For over a year and not get kicked out. It's insane.
I'm the dumb one. I'm the one coughing up way too much for rent. I should have been a squatter 2 years ago.
Cut seven, Phil, go.
Here, this guy just forced himself into my house.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
And so did you.
Man.
You broke through the front door.
Officer.
The man called the police on her.
So why is it that I have to leave and he doesn't have to leave?
Because technically he can't be kicked out. You need to go to court.
They consider this a landlord-tenant issue. And by law, it has to be handled through the housing court, not with police.
If you own this house, you would not want her inside.
I don't own the house. I don't own it.
Exactly. Yes. She does.
Yes. But then once again, you should know how the law works.
I do know how it works.
There's rules to this. As you got to go to court and send me to civil court.
He says he signed a lease in October, but wouldn't tell us with who.
I got proof longer than that.
Show us the proof.
But who are you for me to show? I showed it to cops.
Dan with Channel 7 News. If you don't want to show it, you don't want to show it.
Proof. Come here, bro. I like that.
I would like to see it.
He didn't show me a lease.
This is a bill.
A bill for work he says he had done to the house. He didn't show police a lease either.
The police department doesn't have the lease?
No.
He's got no documentation.
Just bills.
So, Adele, you're getting arrested right now?
I'm being arrested.
For what?
Unbelievable.
For being in my own home.
And where's your lease?
She's fighting the house. It's not her house anymore.
My deed is current and legal.
Arrested for unlawful eviction. She changed the locks on a man who claims he lives there.
Wow.
This is unbelievable. We're living in an upside down world. Illegal immigrants are afforded Second Amendment gun rights. The criminals don't go to jail, but the target employee that tries to protect the asset goes to jail. It's completely, we're legitimate. I think this might be like a major troll job. I think we're all being, Dawn, you always say it, we're all being played.
Yep.
We really are.
It's true. And this happens here in Philadelphia. So squatters have rights. And I have a family friend who has been going through this.
Yep.
And it's incredible. And it would encourage me, if I had a property, to break the law.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
And I would imagine when you have to go through these housing courts, I would imagine the backlog is tremendous.
I mean, it's absurd.
Yeah, that's why I had the opportunity to get in on one of these deals where you buy a house that was foreclosed or whatever, fix it up, and rent it out. And I was just like, I don't want to do that. Like, it's good. It's a good investment. It's a great investment.
But it's a pain.
But it's a pain because you don't know who you're getting. You could get this guy. And he's like, I'm not leaving. And then while they're in there for a year and a half, while it slow walks its way through the courts, they're destroying the place.
Yeah. My sister and brother-in-law have done this. They've bought three or four properties, townhouses that are like, $200,000. They flip them. He's a great handyman. He fixes them all up, and then they rent them out. Luckily, they haven't had to deal with this, but I would not want to deal with that, much less all the issues when you are the landlord and you got to show up and, my dishwasher's on the fritz and my washing machine. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah, it's on you. There's a special court. You have to set a court date. You have to pay a lawyer. And then, so you're talking thousands of dollars and time, money. And then, and that doesn't even include, to Greg's point, all the money you're going to have to use to fix up the place while they've trashed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to get too descriptive because there's more and more people listening every day, so I don't know who's listening. But one of the renters that my in-laws had just completely destroyed, like broke windows, broke doors. They had to gut almost the entire place. It cost them thousands of dollars.
Where do people come up with the audacity to do something like that?
Yeah.
This entitlement era of, no, I'm not going to get up and leave. I'm not going to pay, and I'm also not going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have I just would not have the stones to even attempt to do something like that.
Yesterday, Donald Trump and his wife, Melania, voted in the Florida primary. As he was leaving the voting place, there were people, the press was out there, and he addressed them very briefly. This is a very quick clip, a reporter asked Melania if she'll join her husband on the campaign trail.
Mm.
And this is what she said. This is cut two. Phil, go.
Mrs. Trump, are you going to return to the campaign trail with your husband? Stay tuned.
Dawn. Stay tuned.
As the official spokesperson, Dawn, your thoughts on stay tuned.
Stay tuned. I do not have to answer your questions.
Uh-huh.
Today is my beautiful son Baron's birthday. Happy birthday, Baron. He turns 18 today.
Oh, is that right?
So she's busy helping him pick colleges.
Yeah. What college do you think he's going to go to? Penn?
Any one he wants.
Trump University.
Trump University. Montgomery County Community College.
Or the Wharton School of Business. Trump, UPenn, where Trump is a grad.
Anybody actually paying attention to the primaries these days?
Nope.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, which is a shame for us in Pennsylvania. Obviously, the end of April, that nobody, we kind of lose that.
Yeah.
That prestige.
Right.
Because our primary is so late.
It looks like, I saw some numbers last night, Trump had around 81% of the Florida primary vote.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Does this set off any alarm bells to either one of you for the primary total for the Republican primary so far in 2024? Trump has 10,458,461 votes. Nikki Haley got 3,288,781 votes.
So she's got about a third of the total votes, if my math is correct.
And I would wager to guess that those Haley voters, 90% of them won't vote for Trump.
Yeah. And now are we factoring in the fact that some of them are open primaries
Democrats.
And they're Democrats as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're Democrats.
Yeah.
They're Democrats.
They're all Democrats? They're all Democrats.
No, not all.
I think a ton of them are Democrats, yeah.
Okay.
What would you say the percentage is? More than 50-50? Because of all the state's primaries that we've had, how many of them off the top of our head were open? South Carolina, New Hampshire, was Iowa? Iowa was a caucus. No, was Iowa both? Which one of them had...
Iowa was a caucus.
Yeah. South Carolina had a caucus and a primary, a Tuesday-Thursday ordeal. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's definitely a faction out there that are not going to vote for Trump. The question is, what percentage is that, and what percentage of that is Republicans versus Democrats in an open primary? That I don't know.
But we said yesterday that we take one anecdotal person who is an African-American woman who is voting, who voted for Obama, Biden twice, and she's voting for Trump this year, and we've declared that Trump is going to win the African-American vote and win the election from that one person, right?
I know you mentioned that yesterday. Anybody that thinks out there that Trump is going to get more than 50% of the black vote is absolutely foolish. Yeah, Trump is going to probably be lucky if the polls are accurate. If they're accurate, if Trump is somewhere between 20 and 25%, which might be enough because it's an uptick from where he was 4 years ago and in 2016 as well.
Speaking of people who will not endorse Donald Trump, he was asked about this yesterday outside of his Palm Beach voting place about Mike Pence not endorsing him, his former vice president. This is what he said. Cut three, Phil, go.
What's your reaction to the vice president saying that he can't endorse
him? Oh, I couldn't care less. We need patriots. We need strong people in our country.
There you go.
You know, I think most people probably agree with what Trump just said there. I think there's a lot of people that are done with the Mike Pences of the world, the Kevin McCarthys of the world.
But then you can't say, because there is a faction of the Republican Party that is not voting for him.
Right.
So you can't say
it doesn't help you in your unity efforts.
3.2 million people that voted for Nikki Haley are all Democrats, because they're not.
Well, no, they're not.
They're just not.
But this is where Trump keeps going back and forth, and somebody needs to point it out. One day he's saying the Republican Party's more united than it ever has been. The next day he's like, I don't need Mike Pence. I don't need this. Like, you can't have it both ways if you're Trump. If you're going to try to unite the party, you have to unite the party. You can't sit there, because whether you like it or not, and whether you like Mike Pence or not, there are plenty of evangelical Christians out there that like Mike Pence that might be turned off by Trump. So you're taking a shot at Mike Pence, and it's all fun and games, and it creates a good soundbite. But if it bites you in the butt come election day, well, then you have nobody to blame but yourself.
And by the way, that is part of the reason when we talked earlier about all the VP candidates, what can they bring to the table? So to Greg's point, when you think about that, that's that portion of Republicans, of registered Republicans, I'm not even talking about those independents that you're after.
Mm-hmm.
So do they need somebody like
Tim Scott?
Like, well, I would say Sarah Huckabee.
Okay.
Huge name. Her dad, obviously, her dad, Mike Huckabee, huge name, evangelical Christian, preacher, governor, multiple, you know, served as governor, well-known, a big name who's a big draw. And then you have his daughter now carrying on the torch, highly respected among conservatives. So does he need to, does, for those never Trumpers, who can bring in fold those never Trumpers?
You think she can?
That's my question.
Does she wear her religion on her sleeve as much as Mike Pence does? Because I don't get the feeling she does from what I've seen in public.
I think she walks the walk. I mean, I love her. I'm a fan. But my question is, who serves that purpose? Who can talk those never Trumpers, you know, and say, look, this guy's a one-term guy. You're gonna have a lock. Who is that one Republican? Who is that? Or is it somebody who is maybe not a traditional Republican?
So
Tulsi.
Tulsi Gabbard. And that's why I like Tulsi. I think she's the one that can bring some of those moderates, those on the fencers, over to that side.
I agree with that.
Not that I'm in love with her for what she used to be politically, but it's what she can bring.
She's the best choice, in my opinion, for the female candidates. Byron Donalds, I think, is the best choice, in my opinion, for African-American candidates. And again, let me be clear when I say this. I hate putting people in these boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it, because we're all humans. We're all Americans. We all, you know, it doesn't matter race, gender, whatever. But that, unfortunately, it's like that's how we determine elections. Who will the black vote go to? Who will the Hispanic vote go to? Who will the women vote go to? That's how we judge this.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to judge this, then I guess that's how we have to pick our vice presidents.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And by the way, a lot of people always tweet me about Kristi Noem and her whatever baggage she has.
Isn't she in trouble for some dental ad she did?
I saw that for veneers in Texas. She got her smile remade. Yeah, what is that about?
I just don't know what she brings to the table. And that's why I think, Byron Donalds,
I think people like him, but he's not a big name.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree with that.
But I'll tell you what, his name is floated for every role.
Yeah.
Speaker of the House, on down the list, Vice President. But he's another guy. He's a lot like Vivek, where she's super bright, comes off incredibly polished with presentation, but he's very young. I think Byron Donalds is also south of 40 years old.
44.
So. Oh, he's 44? Mm-hmm. Well, he don't look a day older than 34.
So he's part of the Freedom Force.
Yeah. Now he's part of the Young Wave.
He's endorsed Trump. So is he the other Donald? Is he, and I don't have the answer, but I just think that's something that the Trump camp is looking at very carefully.
Yeah.
If they've got a never-Trumper problem, who reels that in?
That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate to say this, but people are so dug in with these two candidates because we've done this dance already that I don't think anything is going to... I really find it hard to believe that any one person can say, well, Tulsi Gabbard is on the ticket now, so I'm going to vote for Trump if they hated Trump. I just don't see that happen.
No, yeah, if you hate Trump, no.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying they're necessarily going to vote for Biden, but... then they just stay home or they do a write-in candidate or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Possible.
I don't
know.
By the way, Delaware's Republican presidential primary, I should add, it's over before it began. It was supposed to be April 2nd.
Yeah.
But Nikki Haley withdrew her name. So they save about $1.5 million because they just said, it's done. They've canceled the primary.
Okay.
Really? They canceled?
They canceled the primary in Delaware because she took her name off. Yeah. So they're like, okay, it's Trump.
Mm-hmm. Biden told the story yesterday. He was giving a speech somewhere. And he told a story yesterday that he's told before. But I want to ask you guys if you think that this is telling, because I never really heard it the way he tells the story here. I've never really heard him tell it like this before about how, he always says he was the poorest man in Congress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For so many years. He tells this story about how Jill called him up one time and was like, do you see what's happening? Do you see the front page of so-and-so? You're the poorest man in Congress, blah, 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 like yelling at him for it. I wonder if, let me play it and then let's have a discussion about it afterwards. This is cut 5. Phil, go.
I had the dubious distinction of being listed as the poorest man in Congress for 36 years. I got a phone call. My wife was campaigning up. I was campaigning up in New Hampshire back when that statistic came out in the 90s. And she called. I used to call one because the kids were little when I was away. And say, how's everything going? I got this. Fine. Well, you know you're in trouble when your wife or husband says, fine. I said, what's the matter? She said, only elected officials, husband or wife, could understand this. She said, do you read today's paper? I said, they don't have today's paper, Wilmington paper, Delaware, up in Leahy, up in Vermont. And she said, well, let me read it. Top of the fold, headline, Biden, poorest man in Congress. Is that true? I don't know what the hell is true, but it turned out it was true.
My question for you is he saying that they were so bothered by him being the poorest man in Congress that maybe he,
became wealthy?
Found some ways to become wealthy?
Yeah. And by now using the Biden name?
Now he's worth a minimum estimate, and this is PolitiFact, $10 million.
Yeah.
Two beautiful homes. How did he go from poorest
that's what I wanted.
To 10
yes.
million?
Yes.
It is astounding that a guy that spent that many years in those positions that were probably no more than, I don't know, back at that point, he probably was not making six figures in those roles in the 80s and the 90s before he, really took off with Obama as VP. And then you take Dr. Jill's doctorate's degree in education, where she's probably not making a ton of money either. It is really interesting how you go from claiming what you think you are trying to sell to the American public to having more net worth than you know what to do with.
It is interesting to me because it's like, I just think it's egregious that any politician can get wealthy in that job at all. Mm-hmm. They should all be poor.
Yes.
That job should be part-time, and it shouldn't be, you shouldn't be able to make a ton of money doing it. And the fact that they're all wealthy, and the fact that a guy with two homes and a net worth of whatever he's worth was considered at the time the poorest man in Congress.
Yeah.
Is really disturbing. It's really disturbing.
It's just a simple math equation. I mean, think of even today, some of these elected officials that are making $130,000 or $160,000, and then just throw in, you know, let's say your wife makes half of that. You know, if you have a combined household income of $200,000, you're not starving, you're not struggling. If you're not in debt, you're probably going to live a relatively comfortable to nice life. But you're not going to own three properties and have net worths of $10 million. So ask yourself how you arrive at that net worth. Is it by doing business like Biden has allegedly done with foreign nations? Is it, and you talk about all of these elected officials, they all seem to never miss on the stock market. Isn't that amazing?
Exactly.
Boy, yeah. They're just really
just
lucky.
Psychic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that person that sat down at a blackjack shoe and won 10 straight hands.
Not
how
that they
do
know
do
anything.
That?
Yeah.
It's just, like, the system wasn't set up for these career politicians, for one, to be career politicians, and secondly, to get uber wealthy doing this.
Well, see, I don't have as much of a problem with the salaries of the full-time positions.
If it was just that.
As I do the career lifetime, no term limit thing.
Again, you bring up a good point. 130, 140, 170, whatever that is. You're right. It's a decent salary, but it's not, like, you're not, I hate to say it, but you're not rich on
right.
that salary.
No.
So, I have no problem with that salary. I have a problem with these people that have 19 homes on a $170,000 salary. That's what I have a problem
right.
with.
I have the issue with like people like Nancy Pelosi. And by the way, too, Republicans as well. It's not just a Democrat thing. I have an issue with any of these people that are, allegedly, and I'm not even saying allegedly, but we have this perception that they are committing insider trading. I mean, you know, it's not a level playing field then for everybody.
Exactly.
And I'm the last person to talk about equity and level playing fields. But I'm also against breaking the law.
Trump sat down for an interview yesterday with Nigel Farage in the UK. And a lot of interesting things came out of that right now. Asking about the matchup that is going to be the 2024 election between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. This is what he said about that. This is Cut 9. Phil, go.
It's a rematch. 5th of November, 2024. It's Trump v. Biden again. How are you feeling about this campaign? What do you think your prospects realistically are?
So in 2016, we did great. In 2020, we did much better than 2016. Got millions and millions of votes more. And very bad things happened. Very, very bad things happened. And we're not going to let that happen again. But the COVID came in and they used COVID for reasons other than COVID. And it was a disgrace, frankly, and that's what happened to our country. You look at the borders, you look at everything. Everything is bad with our country right now. It's gone so bad under this guy, the worst president in history. And we're going to do, I think, very well. The polls have us leading by a lot. And there was a lot of cheating going on, and we're going to get that cheating stopped to work on that. I say to my people, don't worry about the votes. We got plenty of votes. You just make sure during that period, it used to be one day, now it's 40 days and 45 days and 48 days.
This is the mass mail-out ballots. Yeah.
The ballots are a disaster. Anytime you have mail-in ballots, anytime you have mail-out or mail-in, they call them different names, anytime the mail is involved, you're going to have cheating. You're going to have cheating.
So have
it's too bad people don't say it. They don't want to say it. But we are going to have, I think, a very good election. The way you win the election is, and you have to do this. I saw on a show the other day, they said, well, that you have to allow a certain amount for cheating. I said, since when do you have to allow a certain amount for cheating on the other side? But you swamp them. You swamp them and we win big. And all we do is we focus on that. And they are, that's a bad lot. That's a bad, sick lot of people. They've destroyed our country. Look, they've allowed 15 million, probably, that's the number. 15 million people. That's my opinion. Some people say it's a little bit less. What difference? It's bigger than most states. 15 million people to come in from prisons. They come from prisons, many of them. They come from mental institutions and insane asylums, like Silence of the Lamb, Hannibal Lecter. I wonder if he's one of them. There are terrorists coming into our country, totally unchecked. We have no idea. They either hate our country or they're very stupid.
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, I think he's chomping at the bit to debate Joe Biden. Two, I think he genuinely really feels right now, if the election were held today, that he would win and he would win in a landslide. I don't think he's embellishing and selling that. I think he truly believes that. Stocker, I think you said yesterday that you believed if the election was held today, he would win as well. But here's the thing. You talk about, you know, mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting. I really hope that this time around, Republicans are going to take advantage of every tool at their disposal. You know, Laura Trump has talked about legal ballot harvesting and mail-in ballots. Because if you don't take advantage of those opportunities, you start off game day in the hole. And we've talked about that in the past.
But the nominee is telling everybody that that election by mail is cheating. There's cheating that goes on. So he's telling his voters not to vote by mail, right?
Well, we're also against identity politics.
And it's a mistake.
All of the options in the RNC right now for different positions are people from diverse backgrounds. So you can either, you know, figure out what the Dems do well and beat them at their own game, or we can not learn from our past failures and then cry about it on Twitter next fall. That's up to you. I'm just giving you the blueprint. So what you I can lead the horse to the well. I can't make the horse drink. My old man used to say that.
Nigel Farage asked about the bloodbath comment, that bloodbath gate that has been that we've been talking about now for, this is what, day 97 of bloodbath gate, and about that it's a commonly used phrase in the auto industry.
But I think it's a commonly used phrase everywhere. In every aspect of life.
This is cut 8. Phil, go.
We learned in 2020. That the big social media giants, there were things they did not want the American people to discuss. The laptop, the Hunter Biden laptop being a very good example of that. Your speech in Ohio the other day, talking in that state that's been associated with car making for over 100 years, and just flicking through American press particularly, Trump says there'll be a bloodbath if he doesn't win the election. What is happening? I mean, clearly, you were talking about an economic bloodbath in terms of the car manufacturing industry and what China was doing, setting up in Mexico. And yet this is what's being pushed, picked up by left-wing media sources all over the world. It's quite interesting.
Well, it happens all the time. So bloodbath, talking about it's going to be a bloodbath in the auto industry because we're going to lose our whole industry because this guy's going to all electric cars. And they're made in China. That's where the material is. That's where the minerals are. That's where everything is. They're going to all be made in China. And they want to go all electric cars. One of the dumbest. They don't go far. They cost too much, et cetera, et cetera. And if you want electric, you can get electric. But you've got to have other forms of propulsion. And we're going to have that. We're going to have gasoline. We have more gasoline than any country in the world, meaning oil and gas. And we have it. And they don't want us to use it. You figure that one out. So the electric mandate is going to destroy the auto industry. And I said, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a terrible bloodbath for the auto industry. They're being led right down. They have a leader that would only go Democrat, I guess, because I'm going to create. I guarantee you that the people within that industry, or all the workers, are with me. Because the United Auto Workers, it's going to be put out of business.
That's right. So a couple of interesting stats that I think are worth sharing here when it comes to the automobile industry specifically, and then we'll get to the bloodbath comment again. The average price of a gas-powered vehicle today, the standard model, is $47,000. The average price of an EV is $54,000. So the EVs are $7,000 more on average per pop. But here's what's interesting. Hybrids today are being tripled up compared to EVs. 3-to-1 people are buying hybrids over EVs. So the whole EV thing is a disaster right now. They're too expensive. Americans are rejecting them. And I would say Americans are creating a bloodbath. We are not interested in your EVs, which to my opinion, Dawn, this is still, you've talked about it many times, media bias by omission. Mm-hmm. What they did on Saturday with the word bloodbath is their most egregious one yet. It's indefensible.
It just shows you, if anybody needed proof, there it is. There's the tangible evidence, the bias on full display. Every fact-checking source that's out there says what we just heard. A British dude overseas had to clarify. Shame on them.
Yep. They don't even try to hide it anymore.
They don't even, I mean, people should be fired for that. That's horrifying.
That's journalistic malpractice, right?
Media malpractice. I mean, there it is. And it's not, you know, it's infuriating. We should be furious about it. Where's the FCC? If any one of us did something egregious such as this, the FCC would be, the feds would be all over us.
In my opinion, it's just as bad as the whole Deadspin situation with that writer, Caron Phillips, that smeared that kid.
All you had to do was look at the other side of the face. All you had to do with this audio clip was let it play for another 3 seconds. My God.
He did say something that I think can unite the entire country, that if he's elected, that he will deport Prince Harry.
Yeah, well, yes. That alone should win you an election right now.
Donald Trump has once again hinted that if he is reelected, Prince Harry may face deportation from the U.S. if he is found to have lied about his drug use on his visa paperwork.
Mm.
This is cut six. Phil, go.
She, you know, I would say, although she wouldn't show it because she was strong and smart, but I would imagine they broke her heart. The things that they were saying were so bad and so horrible.
The queen.
And she was in her 90s and hearing this stuff. I think they broke her heart.
No, it was horrible.
I think they really hurt her very bad.
But if he's lied on his visa form, doesn't the truth need to come out?
We'll have to.
I mean, should he get special privileges that nobody else does?
No, and we'll have to see if they know something about the drugs, and if he lied, they'll have to take appropriate action.
Appropriate action?
Yeah.
Which might mean not staying in America.
Oh, I don't know. You'll have to tell me. You just have to tell me. You would have thought they would have known this a long time ago.
Mm, you would.
But I thought they were very disrespectful to the family, to the royal family. I'm a big fan of the concept of the royal family and the royal family. Now, I'm a little prejudiced because I thought the queen was incredible. I mean, think of it. All those years, 75 years, she's almost never made a mistake.
Right. It's almost unbelievable.
All right, a point for deporting Prince Harry, a point taken away for being a fan of the royal family.
So we're back to square one.
Hey, but it's smart. That's an important ally.
Yeah. I've just never had any interest in any of these celebrities that really don't do anything. To me, the royal family is like the Kardashians. Like,
they're beloved in England.
Oh, I know that.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't understand it. But.
Yeah. I can't get behind any of it.
Cut 13, one more from his interview with Nigel Farage. He vowed the U.S. will 100% come to the defense of its NATO allies, provided the other 31 countries pay up. Mm. This is cut 13, Phil, go.
Now, NATO has to treat the U.S. fairly, because if it's not for the United States, NATO literally doesn't even exist. But they took advantage of us, like most countries do.
Okay, I mean, this is being used in Brussels as we've got to have a European defense force, even talk of Brussels having a nuclear weapon. Let's just try and get somewhere on this. If they start to pay their bills properly and the club is fair, are places like Poland defended? Will America be there?
Yeah, but the United States should pay its fair share, not everybody else's fair share.
No, fair enough.
I believe the United States was paying 90% of NATO, the cost of NATO. It could be 100%.
Yep.
It was the most unfair thing. And don't forget, it's more important to them than it is to us. We have an ocean in between some problems, okay? We have a nice, big, beautiful ocean. And it's more important for them. They were taking advantage, and they did. They took advantage of us on trade, and they took advantage on...
So if they play fair, if they start to play fair, America's there.
Yes, 100%, 100%.
Thank you.
I mean, I agree with him. The fact that America's footing, 90% of the bill is outrageous. But I also love the way he simplifies it. He's like, we got this big, beautiful ocean between you and us, and, we don't have to worry about it as much. And again, when we think about all these conflicts that are going on, specifically with Russia and Ukraine and things like that, again, and I don't, I'm not like this nonstop, everything Trump says is gospel, but like, there's no doubt in my mind that this is not happening. If Trump was reelected in 2021, it's not happening.
Nick, I don't know if I've ever asked you this before. Are you a fan of Star Wars?
I am not. Wow. I'm not a big Trekkie or a Star Wars guy. Okay. I'm not a big sci-fi in general genre person.
So there's a new series that will premiere on Disney Plus on June 4th called Star Wars Acolyte. Mm. The director is a person by the name of Leslie Headland. And if you're wondering what this film, or I think it's a series actually, is going to be about, or what the intentions are, she says that she wants to make a Star Wars movie that her parents would have allowed her to see as a queer person.
Okay, I had a feeling we were going to recast the people in DEI roles. Is that the takeaway here?
Maybe, I don't know, but I don't know what. So she was only allowed to watch certain things as a queer person, according to her mother?
Doesn't seem very fair.
Cut 11, Phil, go.
When I saw Frozen as a grown-ass woman, I cried through the entire movie. There was just something about
the
relationship between the
sisters. Yeah. I have to ask a question.
What's up with the hair there?
No. Is that a biological female?
Can we freeze frame her? Freeze frame.
Phil,
freeze frame.
Phil, if you could freeze frame her, I don't know if you're able to do that, my friend.
Looks like a young Mike Francesa. I'm going to say no. I'll go biological male.
Dawn? Is that a female or a male?
And we're talking about
biological.
The one on the right in the pink. That's definitely a biological
female. Can you play along? It's radio. Jesus.
It's definitely a biological male, okay?
This is radio, people.
She's definitely a biological male on the left. Oh, no, I'm sorry. A biological female on the left. That's a girl on the left.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm asking about the person on the right.
That's definitely a dude.
Okay.
The huge person in the pink that's a... come on. That's...
I mean, you can
0.0
chance. You can see the Adam's apple.
Well, I don't... YouTube.com/at1210WPHD
right?
If you want to see this. All right, let's start this over, Phil. Cut 11, go.
When I saw Frozen as a grown-ass woman, I cried through the entire movie. There was just something about the relationship between the sisters, the like de-villainization of the classic kind of fairy tale bad guy, you know, the concept of true love being between two sisters and not a heterosexual relationship. Like, it just, it just destroyed me completely. And I thought, gosh, you know, I would love to make something like this that is, you know, for lack of a better term, Disney, meaning it's something that, like, my parents would have allowed me to see when I was younger as a queer person.
Gotcha.
But I would have been able to understand as a queer person, and I think I would have had a completely different life. And so I really was inspired by it and was like, God, I would love to make a story like this. And so when I was developing this original idea to pitch to Kathleen, I thought, well, you know, it can't just be that. You know, when you're pitching Star Wars, you have to pull from what, you know, George was also interested in. Like, it can't just be like, well, I'm referencing, especially if you're going to set something, you know, during the High Republic or end of High Republic into prequels, you don't have the Skywalker saga. Like, you can't reference a character that was created by George and or Filoni. Like, you have to create your own new characters.
Got it?
No, I don't, but I'll try to make the best I can out of this in the next couple of moments. Two things. One, I've cried watching Frozen as well, but it's because my daughters made me watch it 1,300 times. I just couldn't take any more of that song anymore. But secondly, I didn't know that there was any of that, and maybe it's just I just zone out when I watch it with them. Like, I'm 40, my girls will be 10 coming up in September. So if you've had a kid anywhere in the last 8 to 15 years, you've probably been forced to watch Frozen multiple times. I didn't know that there was any element to, as she says, a queer element to it in the actual movie of Frozen. What she's implying?
I can honestly tell you I've never seen it, so okay. I don't know what she's talking about.
Luckily,
I have a boy.
Yeah, so. Most parents that have girls have seen this. I don't know that Frozen is big in the little toddler boy community, but, you know.
She seems to suggest something that's not correct, because the sisters are love each other, and they're actual they're sisters.
Yes.
So this individual seems to say that the sisters, is this person saying that they're just sisters, or that there's a sexual kind of?
That's what I'm wondering. I've never found that to be the vibe or the theme or the intention behind the sisters. No. And I've seen the movie a bazillion times. I can almost recite the stinking thing. I have no idea what she's talking about there. But also what. And say what you want about Frozen, it's been incredibly successful. It's one of Disney's most accomplished movies, I would presume, of all time, without looking at like Rotten Tomatoes or Box Office Mojo to see what they drew for it. But why do we have to always rewrite these classics?
We don't.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
Of course we don't.
We don't.
Of course we don't.
Now, I didn't know, because we're Star Wars people. We love Star Wars.
Yeah, me too.
And so the Acolyte is supposed to debut, start streaming on Disney Plus June 4th.
Yep.
I thought it was like a Jedi killer, because we love the Jedi.
You know,
they do those Jedi mind tricks. And this is like a killer, like a hunter of the Jedi. And it looked like a cool premise. I didn't see anything that was going to this situation.
Okay.
So
is it new? This person, this individual in the pink there, seems to see everything, you know, through the good for them. They see sisters as perhaps an incestuous thing. Nobody else, 0.0, nobody else saw that.
Yeah.
But good for they, that, whatever.
They,
good for them.
Yeah.
I just hope that, that we don't see whatever is that person sees in the new one. I really, you know, but anybody can see what they want to see. So
I guess
you do you.
For what it's worth, Frozen, when it came out in 2013, it is now raked in $1.28 billion.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge.
It's the highest. It was the highest grossing film of 2013 and the fifth highest grossing film of all time.
I'm just glad that, you know, I have a boy and I haven't seen it yet. I'm just really good. Glad. My son's into Ghostbusters now, which I couldn't be happier about.
Even my boys watch Frozen. Frozen's fine. They have...
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they have a snowman and they have the ice... what's the boy's friend's name? I forget the name. But anyway, yeah, they liked it. It was cute.
I don't know about that.
It was fine.
When's the new Ghostbusters come out, by the way?
I don't know.
It's coming... Is it this week?
Yeah,
because the original cast is in it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to go see it.
I mean, they were in the last one.
Yeah, they've all... I haven't liked any of them since the second one. The first and the second one, the originals, were good.
Yeah, of course.
The remake with all the chicks from SNL,
That was terrible. But
awful.
The one they did a couple years ago.
Yeah, out of the farmhouse.
That was good. You didn't like that?
Yeah.
I liked that.
It was okay. I mean...
I thought it was good.
I'm not clamoring to see it again. If there's nothing else on and I stumble into it, I'll watch it a little bit. Yeah.
All right, we have to break for Mr. Bruno.
That's right. Coming up
on
next.
On Next Circle.
Yes, he is.
In Florida.
And I'm sure he's wearing something Phillies related, and he's ready to talk about baseball. Here's the 2-2. All right, Tony Bruno, live from Florida, as we continue on Kale and Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yeah, why is it when you have all the family, friends over, everybody ends up in the kitchen? Do you ever notice that? My kitchen is the heart of my home. If your kitchen... Or maybe that guest bathroom is so outdated with the dark cabinets, the dark wallpaper. You need kitchen magic. You need that little bit of magic, right? Or maybe a lot of magic. Kitchen Magic is local, Pennsylvania, family-owned and operated since 1979, serving our entire region. Their experienced team transforming more than 60,000 spaces. So here's what you're going to get. A dedicated design consultant is going to work with you on your choices for things like refacing, custom cabinets, backsplash, the counters. And what about a tub shower conversion? Whatever it is, whatever you choose and work with your design consultant, you're going to get exactly what you want, what you wish for. It comes with an industry-leading warranty. And right now, Kitchen Magic is offering 12 months, no payments, no interest financing, plus 10% off your remodel. Just visit them at kitchenmagic.com. You can take a tour and look at all of the great work they've done over the years. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
I'm taking Colorado tonight -2.5 against Boise State. Yeah, man, it's March. College basketball. You know what that means? The tournament is here, from upsets to buzzer beaters. Nothing compares to college basketball in March. But sometimes you're on the wrong end of those moments. That's why FanDuel is giving everyone a no-sweat bet from now until March 20th, which is today. You think they would have updated this copy. But yeah, hey, what do I know, right? It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel, so you have to do it today, because I think it ends today. So if you have not done so, FanDuel.com/Greg, sign up right now, and you can get a no-sweat bet on college game day, college basketball parlays. I love the FanDuel app. So download it if you don't already have it by going to FanDuel.com/Greg. Make every moment more. FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with the Valley Forge Casino. It's America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHD, 21 and over. President PA. For, refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5, unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHD, and the free Odyssey app.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD right? If you want to see this. All right, let's start this over, Phil. Cut 11, go.
When I saw Frozen as a grown-ass woman, I cried through the entire movie. There was just something about the relationship between the sisters, the like de-villainization of the classic kind of fairy tale bad guy, you know, the concept of true love being between two sisters and not a heterosexual relationship. Like, it just, mm-hmm. it just destroyed me completely. And I thought, gosh, you know, I would love to make something like this that is, you know, for lack of a better term, Disney, meaning it's something that, like, my parents would have allowed me to see when I was younger as a queer person.
Gotcha.
But I would have been able to understand as a queer person, and I think I would have had a completely different life. And so I really was inspired by it and was like, God, I would love to make a story like this. And so when I was developing this original idea to pitch to Kathleen, I thought, well, you know, it can't just be that. You know, when you're pitching Star Wars, you have to pull from what, you know, George was also interested in. Like, it can't just be like, well, I'm referencing, especially if you're going to set something, you know, during the High Republic or end of High Republic into prequels, you don't have the Skywalker saga. Like, you can't reference a character that was created by George and or Filoni. Like, you have to create your own new characters.
Got it?
No, I don't, but I'll try to make the best I can out of this in the next couple of moments. Two things. One, I've cried watching Frozen as well, but it's because my daughters made me watch it 1,300 times. I just couldn't take any more of that song anymore. But secondly, I didn't know that there was any of that, and maybe it's just I just zone out when I watch it with them. Like, I'm 40, my girls will be 10 coming up in September. So if you've had a kid anywhere in the last 8 to 15 years, you've probably been forced to watch Frozen multiple times. I didn't know that there was any element to, as she says, a queer element to it in the actual movie of Frozen. What she's implying?
I can honestly tell you I've never seen it, so okay. I don't know what she's talking about.
Luckily,
I have a boy.
Yeah, so. Most parents that have girls have seen this. I don't know that Frozen is big in the little toddler boy community, but, you know.
She seems to suggest something that's not correct, because the sisters are love each other,
yeah.
And they're sisters.
Yes.
So this individual seems to say that the sisters, is this person saying that they're just sisters, or that there's a sexual kind of?
That's what I'm wondering.
I've never
found that to be the vibe or the theme or the intention behind the sisters. Yeah. And I've seen the movie a bazillion times. I can almost recite the stinking thing. I have no idea what she's talking about there. But also what. And say what you want about Frozen, it's been incredibly successful. It's one of Disney's most accomplished movies, I would presume, of all time, without looking at, like, Rotten Tomatoes or Box Office Mojo to see what they drew for it. But why do we have to always rewrite these classics?
We don't.
I know.
Exactly.
Of course we don't.
We don't.
Of course we don't.
Now, I didn't know, because we're Star Wars people. We love Star Wars.
Yeah, me too.
And so the Acolyte is supposed to debut, start streaming on Disney Plus June 4th.
Yep.
I thought it was like a Jedi killer, because we love the Jedi.
You know,
they do those Jedi mind tricks. And this is like a killer, like a hunter of the Jedi. And it looked like a cool premise. I didn't see anything that was going to this situation.
Okay.
So is it new? This person, this individual in the pink there, seems to see everything, you know, through the good for them. They see sisters as perhaps an incestuous thing. Nobody else, 0.0, nobody else saw that.
Yeah.
But good for they, that whatever,
they,
good
them.
For them.
Yeah.
I just hope that we don't see whatever is that person sees in the new one. I really, you know, but anybody can see what they want to see. So
I guess
you do you.
For what it's worth, Frozen, when it came out in 2013, it is now raked in $1.28 billion.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge.
It's the highest. It was the highest grossing film of 2013 and the fifth highest grossing film of all time.
I'm just glad that, you know, I have a boy and I haven't seen it yet. I'm just really good. Glad. My son's into Ghostbusters now, which I couldn't be happier about.
Yeah, but my boys watch Frozen. Frozen's fine. They have.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they have the snowman and they have the ice.
Hmm.
What's the boy's friend's name? I forget the name. Anyway, yeah, they liked it. Was cute.
I don't know about that.
When's the new Ghostbusters come out, by the way?
I don't know.
It's coming. Is it this week?
Yeah.
Because the original cast is in it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to go see it.
I mean, they were in the last one.
Yeah. I haven't liked any of them since the second one. The first and the second one, the originals, were good.
Of course.
The remake with all the chicks from SNL,
that was terrible. But
awful.
The one they did a couple years ago.
Yeah, out of the farmhouse.
That was good. You didn't like that?
Yeah.
I like that.
It was okay. I mean,
I thought it was good.
I'm not clamoring to see it again. If there's nothing else on and I stumble into it, I'll watch it a little bit. Yeah.
All right, we have to break for Mr. Bruno.
That's right. Coming up
on the next circle.
Yes, he is.
In Florida.
And I'm sure he's wearing something Phillies related and he's ready to talk about baseball. Here's the 2-2. All right, Tony Bruno, live from Florida as we continue on Kale and Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yeah, why is it when you have all the family, friends over, everybody ends up in the kitchen? Do you ever notice that? My kitchen is the heart of my home. If your kitchen or maybe that guest bathroom is so outdated with the dark cabinets, the dark wallpaper. You need kitchen magic. You need that little bit of magic, right? Or maybe a lot of magic. Kitchen Magic is local, Pennsylvania, family owned and operated since 1979, serving our entire region. Their experienced team transforming more than 60,000 spaces. So here's what you're going to get. A dedicated design consultant is going to work with you on your choices for things like refacing, custom cabinets, backsplash, the counters. And what about a tub shower conversion? Whatever it is, whatever you choose and work with your design consultant, you're going to get exactly what you want, what you wish for. It comes with an industry leading warranty. And right now, Kitchen Magic is offering 12 months, no payments, no interest financing, plus 10% off your remodel. Just visit them at kitchenmagic.com. You can take a tour and look at all of the great work they've done over the years. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
I'm taking Colorado tonight -2.5 against Boise State. Yeah, man, it's March. College basketball. You know what that means? The tournament is here, from upsets to buzzer beaters. Nothing compares to college basketball in March. But sometimes you're on the wrong end of those moments. That's why FanDuel is giving everyone a no-sweat bet from now until March 20th, which is today. You'd think they would have updated this copy. But yeah, hey, what do I know, right? It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel, so you have to do it today because I think it ends today. So if you have not done so, FanDuel.com/Greg, sign up right now, and you can get a no-sweat bet on college game day, college basketball parlays. I love the FanDuel app. So download it if you don't already have it by going to FanDuel.com/Greg. Make every moment more. FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. It's America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHD, 21 and over, present in PA. For, refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5, unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.